You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Food feature.
It's 19 minutes past one and we're talking about a much-loved pastime, which suggests that we can do it, it's easy. Meanwhile, it's not, and that is braaiing, which is loved in South Africa. And we've got Chef Benny Masekwameng joining us now for the do's and don'ts and some advice on how we can braai some what might seem like a little bit tricky, you know, tricky items on the fire. Hi, Benny, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Azania?
I'm very good. Lots of fathers did tell us yesterday, especially on our WhatsApp line with their voice notes, that they will pick up the braai tongs tomorrow. They're likely going to braai for their family. So we thought, you know, let's do something for them by bringing someone as knowledgeable as you to talk about braaiing and how we can be even better at it. It's something that's perceived to be well understood, easy. We have a big culture of dichesa nyama. But I'm sure there are things that we need to remember, right, when cooking with an open fire.
Yeah, the thing is, what I love about braaiing is that it's accessible to everybody, and it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be a trained cook or chef to be able to produce a good braai. You just got to have your timing right. And South Africans love braaiing, and I know that anybody claims that they know how to braai, but sometimes you find out later when the meat is all black and ashy. but some, you know, are very good, you know, but I think for me, the most important thing is understanding the fire. Mm. You know, you got to make sure that you get the right fire for whatever that you're going to be cooking. You know, there are different types of meats and vegetables that require different levels of temperature, others low, others high, depending on what you want to do. So it is complex. You know, but it's also something that anybody that does not have a lot of training can still be able to achieve.
Yes. So give us a quick guide when it comes to the temperature. What is best on a higher heat and what's best on a lower heat, on a fire that's kind of dying down and that's much gentler?
So we'll start on high heat. So, you know, when and especially in the townships when we start braaiing, when you go to the butchery, you get mostly like thin sliced cuts of meat, which would be about a centimeter or centimeter and a half thick, which cook quickly. So with those, if you have your meat cut thinly, you need a fire that's a bit, you know, higher in temperature.
Oh.
Not in flames, but higher in temperature because it cooks quickly. But you don't really want to put it on for too long that it dries out because it's so thin. You know, so if you have like, you know, a thin slice of chuck, which I would say maximum that you could cook it for is about 10 to 15 minutes, where it's like 7 minutes on one side and then you turn it and then you then cook the other side. But then another important thing to keep your meat juicy, you need to let it rest after cooking it. So letting it rest means that, say, if you cook it for 10 minutes and it's to your liking, and you put it on the side where on a board, you don't have to cover it also. You put it on the side on the board and you leave it for about 7 to 8 minutes so that it settles and the juices and the blood that's in inside the meat, then it gets evenly distributed throughout the meat. And then when you cut it, you'll see it's a uniform color when you look at the center of the meat, and it's not running with a lot of juice, you know, running out of the meat, and it becomes dry. So thinly sliced pieces of meat, you would ideally do it on a high heat because then it's quick cooking, and you also just want to brown, you know, the side and then put it on a lower side of the heat so that it continues cooking. Even when you're resting it, it continues cooking.
Oh, okay.
But when you're doing a large joint where it's thicker, you need to put it on the side that is lower in temperature. So if you've got like coals or wood, you know, push them to the one side, and then the other side there isn't like, you know, any coals underneath.
Yeah.
So it gets indirect heat. And mostly if you cover it, if you've got a like a Weber or something that you are able to, a gas braai that you're able to cover, then you can cover it and cook it for longer. That's what they call cook it low and slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's for big joints, so keep it nice and juicy. So it doesn't really need high temperatures. It just needs indirect heat still on the brine. And when you want to, like, you know, brown it and give it that brine
back
color,
on the fire.
Then you put it on high heat. Yeah, high heat, and then you give it the color that you really require, and then you also let it rest, and then you can slice or carve it.
I'm learning so much because my brother likes to make a roast beef on the fire, and it always comes out so perfectly. I attempted it once, and just inside, and I'm a great cook. I'm a good cook, if I say so myself, but I just struggled with getting it perfect inside. But as you say, with the thick cuts, just keep it on the heat on the periphery for longer. But I also want to know, bread. Do you make bread or anything bready on the fire? And if we do, how should we do it?
So, brine is an activity. So it's not something that you do quickly and then you forget about it.
Yeah.
So depending on what you're cooking. So if you're cooking for a large group, you'll have different things that you're going to brine, like vores and chicken. If you've got fish or vegetables, you can also do that. But in between the brine process, that's when you can start doing other things. Like if you have a side salad to make or a bread to make, just like you asked, then you can make a quick bread, which is, you know, bread normally you would require yeast, some types of bread, but others you don't necessarily need to. So if you look at naan bread, naan bread is a quick and easy bread to do without having to use the yeast. And also having to wait all of that time for stuff to raise, and then you knock it down, and then you put it in a pan, and all of that. It's the easiest thing to do. It requires very little ingredients. I can give you a quick recipe of how you can do naan bread on a braai, but then also using like a solid skillet, you know, that you can make your naan bread from there. Easy ingredients, 1.5 cup flour, and then a tablespoon of sugar, half a teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of baking powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need 1/2 cup of plain yogurt and 2 tablespoons of melted butter. So what you do is you combine your dry ingredients, your flour, baking powder, salt, and sugar. And then you sieve that into a bowl, a large bowl that you're going to mix it into. So you take the sieve, you put it in there just to aerate it so that it's nice and fluffy and light. And then on the side, in your plain yogurt at room temperature, you add the melted 2 tablespoons of butter. And then you mix everything into that bowl and make it into a dough that is nice and smooth. You start by mixing it in that bowl itself, and then you can take it out onto a floured surface and make sure that it's you know, kneaded properly, that everything is all mixed in nicely. And that process can take anything between 7 and 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then you put it back into that bowl that you started with, that big glass bowl that you started with, and put a dry cloth over it and leave it at room temperature for about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Once that is done, you then take it up onto a board or a flat surface, and you cut it into either 4 pieces or 6 pieces. Then you roll those into like golf-sized balls.
Yeah.
And then you roll that out with a pin. You can use a rolling pin, or you can use cold drink bottle or whatever that you use to roll out that ER. And then after that, you heat up a skillet, made up preferably a nonstick cast iron skillet on the braai itself.
Yes, not and a plastic then, candle either.
No. And then you get it to medium heat. So you put it out there, you know, depending on how high your heat is. But if you put it on medium heat, which, you know, maybe after, like, say, 5 minutes that you put it on, it'll be properly. You don't have to have it too hot.
Also
not on the high heat side.
I'm already salivating. Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to oil it, but you can, you know, if you have cooking spray, you can just, you know, do that or rub a little bit of oil on it, but not too much. And then you start on the one side, you put it, so it will look like a small size pizza,
yes.
You know, the dough after you've rolled it up.
Nice.
You know, and then you put that,
I want to get to the chicken before we wrap, but
okay. Yeah, you put that in the skillet, you cook it like, you know, 1 to 2 minutes on each side.
Yeah.
Then you leave it, then you take it out, and then you cover with the cloth to keep it nice and warm and soft.
Mm.
And that's your bread there. You know, you can brush it with melted butter with a little bit of garlic if you want that. But otherwise, you can have it plain and with whatever else that you have it on the dry.
So yummy.
So chicken.
So yummy. Yeah, because we're talking chicken feet and other chicken parts, because that I find is where people fail a lot.
Chicken, I would advise, and especially for people that don't dry too much, don't get pieces that have bone in it, because it takes quite a while. And sometimes if your heat is too high, then it'll be cooked on the outside, but still bloody and not cooked. And roll inside closer to the bone. So if you're able to, ask your butcher to debone some pieces. My favorite is chicken thighs, which you can get them deboned at the butchery, or you can debone them yourself, or you can buy them deboned. Then you start with grilling them on the hot side to give it that nice golden brown color. And then once you've done that on both sides, it will still be like medium in the middle. Take it and put it on the lower heat side, and let it, you know, cook there without direct heat for between 7 and 10 minutes. It'll keep it nice and juicy, but it will still have that lovely golden brown color on the skin and also on the cut side of the meat. But yeah, for a beginner, please use boneless pieces of chicken. They're easy and quick to cook. But if you're a seasoned briar, you can use any parts, but you understand how long you've got to keep it for, and still keep it nice and juicy without burning it.
Yes, I think you're right about deboning, whether it's the thigh or the breast, really great idea. Here's a question that came in, Chef Benny. Can bread be made with brown flour and without sugar? So if we're going to...
Yes, but with the recipe that I've given you, yes, you can do that.
Mm.
Sugar, normally in bread recipes, especially the ones that have yeast, it's just to also help activate the yeast.
Yes.
So that is why. But you don't have to put sugar. And when you really look at it, there isn't a lot of sugar. I mean, it's...
A tablespoon with this recipe.
It's a tablespoon, yeah. Or you can just halve that. But yeah, you don't necessarily have to have it. But yeah, if you're using yeast on the bread, then yeah, I would advise that you have a little bit of sugar in your recipe.
Okay, Sunday lunch is served. These are great ideas. Thank you. And do you do your fish in foil? Just a quick yes or no. What do you recommend there?
You can and not. I would, for fish, I would recommend skewers. Cut it into thick cubes, like you're making your sausages or something like that. Use firm flesh fish like kingclip or yellowtail, not flaky fish like hake, you know, that you can bake, put it in foil and cook it whole. But firm flesh fish you can make into kebabs, you know, with peppers and onion in between. It looks very nice. And if you have a nice dressing after that with lemon, a little bit of olive oil, and some herbs in there, you can just drizzle that onto your fish skewers.
No, I think cool. Yeah, I think lunch is going to be perfectly served this coming Sunday. And happy Father's Day to you on Sunday.
No, cool. I hope somebody cooks for me, but yeah.
Let's hope. That's Chef Benny Maseko.